Hello and welcome to the NBA Outlet presented by OTGBasketball.com. I'm your host, Nick Fay. With me as always, Corey Waldron and special guest, Jack Manuel. What's up, guys?
Lots of court, the free agency fever. Get on board.
Yeah, day one's underway and it's feeling like a heat wave is hitting the league with everything going down, obviously. This is Christmas for all of us.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm sweating because of the free agency or because of the actual weather, but it's been crazy. You know, a lot of action right away last night, right at midnight. Before we get started, just a quick reminder, check out the NBA Outlet and all the OTG pods on Block Talk Radio, iTunes, and OTGBasketball.com. But guys, so far, what's been your biggest surprise?
Oh, it's got to be Trevor Ariza at the Phoenix Suns, Nick. You know, there's plenty of deals that were sort of fait accompli. Some people might say that they were surprised about Paul George being re-signing with the OKC Thunder. I actually put out a tweet. My brother, I had a little bet with him going. He's like, look, if Paul George re-signs with the OKC Thunder, I will eat one of your shoes. And I put out like a poll, I'm like, with all the emojis about what shoe he should eat. And went to go see a movie with him yesterday. We went into a shoe shop just for shits and gigs. It was just fun. I'm just like, dude, like the growing consensus is that he's going to re-sign. So that was a bit of a surprise for a lot of fans. But for me, yeah, it was Trevor Ariza signing in Phoenix on a nice sort of one-year deal.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't surprised on where Paul George signed because, you know, I have a podcast coming out when me and Jay Christensen, we recapped the Thunder, we talked about Paul George, and I felt like because of his relationship with Westbrook that the Thunder were really in play. But I was surprised by the fact that he didn't even meet with any other teams. That to me is what was so surprising about that signing is the fact that he signed right at midnight without giving the Lakers, who – you know, a year ago were the presumed favorites and he even give them a chance to pitch to him. Of course, the pitch was leaked, so maybe he already saw all he needed. And he was like, all right, well, that's good enough for me. I'm good on that. But for me, that was the you know, simply unexpected to a degree.
Yeah, I expected the Suns to make a splash move, but I didn't know if it'd be Ariza at 1 year, $15 million. And also, like you said, Corey, Paul George signing so quick kind of surprised me. I think some reports came out that he possibly told OKC beforehand. I believe his barber leaked it that Paul George was going to stay in OKC before midnight as well. So definitely very interesting. But we're going to kind of run through all the re-signings, the signings, and touch on some rumors at the end. But starting off, KD agreed to re-sign with Golden State on a 1+1 deal. What's your thoughts on this one?
I think the free agency madness with Kate around KD is going to start all over again next year. You know, Klay Thompson is out of contract as well. So there's certainly going to be some fun times surrounding the Golden State Warriors franchise next year. You know, he saves the sort of owners a little bit of money in terms of the deal that he did decide to sign, the 1+1, you know, only on $30 million, which for him is just pretty ridiculous. With all these guys signing for, you know, supermaxes around that $40 million mark, KD, top two, 1A or 1B best player in the league is on. He keeps taking these discounts. And I'm sure, like, you know, basketball is sort of ancillary to him. He loves the game. And with him, money seems to be sort of a non-issue. I mean, he's making all that back in Silicon Valley sort of franchises and such. But, yeah, a little bit of a surprise in terms of, you know, the 1+1. You know, he could have got that sort of long-term money, but as well, there's going to be that extra money available in free agency in the coming years as the cap sort of starts to increase a little bit. So no surprises really, but also, you know, we're going to be doing this all over again with the KD free agency.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't surprised by the 1+1. I think me and Nick talked earlier on a previous podcast that, you know, that probably would be what he, you know, LeBron James kind of set this up. You know, you take the one deal, big money, then next offseason you opt out, cap goes up, you get more money. So this makes sense. And also, you know, when the Warriors have to pay those other guys on this roster, you know, if Kevin Durant gets his money now, maybe he's more inclined to decline his option and take less money to keep the core together. But this, to me, was a no-brainer. There was no way we were going to see Kevin Durant somewhere besides the Bay Area.
Yeah, it wasn't much of a surprise. And like you guys mentioned, the 1+1, it works out for the Warriors and it works out for KD. It gives KD a little bit of power because he can opt out next year if he wanted to leave. And then also for the Warriors, when they have to sign big names next year, like Klay and Draymond, extend them and stuff, it'll kind of work out for that. We kind of touched on Paul George already. What were your thoughts? Anything else that surprised you about that? What do you think is going to happen with Melo?
With Melo, it's going to be an interesting one. There's rumors coming out of they're going to stretch him or they're going to buy him out. They already signed, you know, we'll mention obviously Jeremy Grant's re-signing as well. So they're certainly going to be in that sort of tax range, which isn't going to be a nice sort of sight for the ownership, especially for a non-sort of key franchise team and You know, they're not necessarily competing for a championship. You can argue that, I guess, with a healthy Andre Roberson, they might be around that range, but he might be a bit occupied with Rachel Demeter over the offseason. So who knows what's going on with him? But yeah, I think that this, in terms of Melo, I'm very intrigued to see what Sam Presti and the ownership sort of value with him. He still has that that clause in his contract where he has to sort of agree to whether it's a buyout or whether it's a trade of some sort. So it's the ball is still in Melo's court in that sense. I'm sure Sam Presti will be calling him plenty of times. But yeah, interesting times in OKC. They're certainly, you know, committed to the core of Russ, Steven Adams, and Paul George for the next 3 to 4 years. So we know that that's going to be in. It's just what they can surround it with.
Yeah, I mean, when Paul George signed, I was with Nick last night, so we were able to talk about some of these stuff and some of these signings in person right off the bat. And some of the tweets I saw right away were, you know, a Melo buyout impending, you know, and of course, yeah, you make the point, Melo still has complete control. And, you know, the hard cap situation for the Thunder, I saw a lot of people saying they don't want to make the same mistake they made in the past with Harden, Durant, and Westbrook. And granted, you know, doing the hard cap now when you have Melo as one of those three big three guys, kind of, you know, head scratching, because, you know, this would be a time it's okay to mess up maybe. But obviously you got Paul George, so he still win. But with Melo, you know, I think maybe if the only way I see him back in OKC next year is in reality, if Westbrook and Paul George tell Presti and ownership that they don't want to lose him, that they think they can play with Melo. But I still think, you know, it's very unlikely. I'd probably say a 70% chance we don't see Melo back next year.
Is there a chance that he could go to Houston?
If he's bought out, I think it's a possibility. Yeah. You know, or he could tag along with LeBron wherever he goes, if it's L.A. or goes back to Cleveland or something on a cheap deal. Especially,
I think that's more likely.
Yeah, if he's getting that buyout money, he doesn't really care. You know what I mean? Especially if it's for the one-year deal. Like, he's already going to walk away. Obviously, he's overpaid. It's not his fault. The Knicks paid him the contract, but it'll work out for him. It's really interesting, you know, because Melo is still decent. It's not like he's horrendous and he can't provide any value. I think it's about finding the right fit with him on the team if they do keep him, but I would feel like they're leaning towards getting rid of him.
Yeah.
On the Chris Paul front, he re-signed with Houston, the 4-year deal, $160 million player option in year 4, not the 5-year deal, and it kind of worked out for Houston and Chris Paul gets paid.
Yeah, it works out well for both parties, you know. It's going to be intriguing to see how Chris Paul sort of ages. You know, there's always the talk of undersized point guards and how they age, but Chris Paul is a top 5 point guard of all time, one of the best defensive point guards, has, you know, increased his sort of range along the way. He's always been a great 3-point shooter, one of the best mid-range point guards, and one of the best defenders, as I mentioned. So, I mean, it's a no-brainer deal for both parties. And the fact that they could get him for 4 rather than 5, I think is a win. Somewhat, but as well, you know, what's he going to be like, you know, in his age 35, 36, 37 season? That's going to be interesting sort of times, or whether he's still going to be on the Houston Rockets at that time. So him and James Harden on massive contracts, obviously Harden with age on his side, but, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how it sort of goes and how it progresses for Chris Paul later in his career.
I mean, way over Chris Paul, secure the bag. Also, this pretty much, I think, puts the stamp that he's going to end his career in Houston as he's getting up there in age. I mean, I like it for Houston, obviously, because of how good they were last year. They had a chance to run it back. How he looks, and, you know, on year 3 and 4 of that deal will be, you know, we'll have to see. But, you know, Chris Paul deserved this money. And if Chris Paul is healthy and he plays like he did last season, he is still a top 5 point guard in this league and worth every penny.
Yeah, and the one thing that kind of benefits him is that he's such a heady player. You know, the basketball IQ is very high, and his leadership's there, and he'll kind of mentor Harden as well. Like you said, Corey, year 3 and 4, that's when we'll really see about this contract. But the Rockets really had no choice here, especially after the success of last season. I think they made the right move. It may hurt them later on, but at this point in time, there is no way they could lose Chris Paul. Moving on to our next guy, Will Barton. He re-signed pretty quick with the Denver Nuggets, 4 years, $54 million, a player option in year 4. What are your thoughts on Barton securing the bag?
Look, Barton, yeah, major bag alert, as the quite as Migos would say. But I don't understand this deal for the Denver Nuggets. You know, they're already going to be super, super tight in terms of that luxury tax range, you know, giving Nikola Jokic the max, offering him the max. So this sort of long deal with a player option at the end, you know, over $13 million per year on a 4-year deal, it just doesn't make sense to me. And, like, you know, there's that wild rumor, which Chris Mannix pointed out, I don't like believe in any sense of the word, that they want to have a meeting with LeBron. Not happening at all. But it, I mean, if you're signing Will Barton to this sort of lengthy deal, I don't understand whether there were other teams like Corey's Pacers out there, whether the Philadelphia 76ers were offering this. But in terms of, you know, the sort of flexibility that this gives the Nuggets, you know, they're certainly going to be very hamstrung going forward.
Yeah, you know, this news broke at like 11 p.m. last night, you know, an hour before the free agency opened up. I had hopes that Pacers were going to have a chance to you know, court him. But obviously Denver was able to get the 4-year deal for, you know, $50 million. It's a lot of money. I have the same type of feeling with you on this, Jack. You know, there's a lot of guys on this team getting paid, and Will Barton's now another guy getting paid. You know, then I saw that same rumor about them trying to get LeBron James to sit down and meet with them, which was also, to me, somewhat head-scratching, because I don't know where they would even – I mean, obviously they would have to trade a boatload of guys for a contract to even up. But I don't know, it's strange. I mean, I like them bringing back that core, but at the same time, you know, Denver hasn't been able to make the playoffs with this current roster yet, and obviously talent has to keep progressing, but – a lot of money for me to lock up a Will Barton for a team that already has, you know, money locked up in Gary Harris. You know, Joja just got paid as well.
Paul Millsap.
It's Paul Millsap. I don't know how I forgot him. But, yeah, it's interesting that they went this route.
Yeah, it's almost, I think this is a guarantee that they make a move. There's been a lot of rumors about them trying to move Wilson Chandler or Kenneth Faried. Which of those two do you think will get moved? Or both?
I think there's a possibility for both, Nick, yeah, as you just mentioned there. I don't think Kenneth Faried is, in any sense of the word, on their long-term plans. Wilson Chandler will certainly get some love somewhere. I think how I think Woj and Zach Lowe mentioned, that this is probably going to be a much longer free agency period in terms of how the sort of teams that are a bit cap-scratched in terms of their money and their money bags, in a sense, they're going to have to look and go, okay, well, who's still available here? And then, you know, Wilson Chandler might have to accept something lesser. They might trade out Kenneth Faried, which is what they've been rumored to do quite a bit. You know, it depends on how the teams with space like Atlanta, Chicago, and Sacramento are sort of what they do with their money, whether they offer it to someone else. So I feel like both of these guys aren't going to be on the roster because there's just not enough money to go around.
Yeah, and you know, being Denver, not a big market, not wanting to probably pay the luxury tax, there has been some rumors about Houston being interested in Wilson Chandler, which would kind of make up for losing Ariza a little bit. And Kenneth Reed's an interesting one. And the fact is, there's only so many teams with cap space, especially after all the signings, that it's going to take a lot of, you know, assets to kind of move one of these contracts. It's not going to be as easy as in the past when there's so many teams. You know, if you look at it, there's going to maybe be Atlanta, Sacramento, possibly Chicago. Not a ton of cap space out there, so they might have to pay a hefty fee to move one of these guys.
Yeah, for sure.
Looking at Rudy Gay, who opted out of his player option, then came back with San Antonio on a 1-year deal for $10 million. What were your thoughts on Rudy Gay coming back to the Spurs?
Seems like a move for both parties that works kind of well. You know, $10 million might be a bit much for Rudy Gay, who's certainly aging and certainly doesn't have the same sort of athleticism that he did back in the day, but is still a serviceable player, you know, can pinch hit as a starter at times, you know, especially if Kawhi Leonard leaves, you know, he's sort of filled the gaps there to an extent. But yeah, not the, you know, best deal, but not the worst deal, sort of just, you know, somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a solid deal, especially with all the stuff going on with Kawhi. For the Spurs, you know, if you lose Kawhi, you still have a very capable small forward for, you know, $10 million. Obviously, Rudy Gay is now a full year removed from having his ruptured Achilles. You know, how that takes a toll on him in his later stage of his career, we'll have to see. But, you know, he got a taste of winning. He got the taste of the playoffs in San Antonio again. So, for him, I just think it's about winning. And you know, besides all the stuff that happened between the Spurs and Kawhi, you know, the Spurs organization is still top-notch. You know, and I just think Rudy Gay wants to be a part of that. For as long as he can.
Yeah, and they probably overpaid him a touch, but it's a 1-year deal, so it keeps him flexible for next season, which I think is big for a lot of these teams. Now, Jack, don't get excited about the next one. Harris agreed to re-sign with the Brooklyn Nets, 2 years, $16 million. What are your thoughts on this one?
Can we have about like 40 minutes to discuss this one, Nick? Is that all right?
We will, Jack. We will.
We'll do it on the buzz. We'll save it for them. But I'm ecstatic about this, you know. I picked the worst time to go to a movie yesterday with my co-host of JBT, Nick, to go see Sicario, because as soon as we walked out, he starts getting all the notifications from Bleacher, and I'm like, Joe Harris? And then the fact that he signed for a 2-year, $60 million deal, which is about that sort of mid-level exception for the Nets, who are a non-tax team, I think works out perfectly. Allows Joe Harris as well, he's only 26, to sort of get back on the market if he wants to sort of get paid even further, if he continues his production. Because if that's the case, you know, I feel like he could get like a long-term deal at $8 million per annum for sure. And, you know, if the Nets end up having some flexibility, they might bring him back as well. I think this just is a great deal for both parties, you know, rewarding a guy who sort of came in. And, you know, Coach Kenny mentioned, you know, he's going to be our Kyle Korver. But if anything, he's Kyle Korver with a bit of extra defense and, you know, one of the best three-point shooters in the league, you know, a solid, capable defender, perfect bench piece. You know, I wrote a piece for OGGBasketball.com, the fact that he would be a dream signing for the Golden State Warriors if they were able to get him. But, you know, the fact that he stayed with the Nets, you know, made my dreams come true.
Yeah, I mean, as you guys have, you know, been in the Joe Harris fan club for most of the season, two top supporters. Joe Harris would probably hop on the Brooklyn Buzz just to show you guys some love. But, you know, Harris proved that he's a very good shooter. He can also, you know, despite not being terribly quick and athletic, he can still get to the rim. You know, for 2 years, $16 million for the Nets, who are still, you know, making these moves into being a winning franchise again. Sean Marks, I think, you know, he did it again. This was a really good signing, I think. Keeps another guy who's been with the Nets, you know, last year to this year again. Top three-point shooter. I think it's a very good signing. And it's not a crazy, you know, $8 million a year for Joe Harris is not bad, especially when you're, you know, the Nets and you don't have to worry, you know, really worry about, you know, putting out a great deal of money, at least not yet.
Yeah, it works out for both parties. You know, 2 years, $16 million, maybe a touch more than the Nets wanted to pay, but they got him quick. You know, he didn't really probably meet with any other teams. And, you know, next year, if they wanted to open up more cap space, sorry to say this, Jack, they could always trade him a 1 year, $8 million type of thing. You know, that's not a bad deal. And Joe Harris, after the All-Star break, this is via Nets Daily, led the league in three-point percentage at 47.1. So, and also he's a guy that constantly improves. You know, last year he improved as a passer, as a driver, and just big things, and he just fits the Brooklyn culture. Obviously, Jack and I could talk about him for a while. We'll take care of that on the Buzz. Moving on to our next guy, Aaron Baines, another kind of role player that really fits his role, and he re-signed with the Boston Celtics, 2 years, $16 million as well.
Yeah, my Aussie brethren, I know you guys didn't show much love in the preseason previews, but I've always been a solid fan of Aaron Baines, just as a teammate and as a glue guy who can sort of just fit into any sort of system. You know, knows his role as some of these sort of, you know, second string centers and big men do. You know, apparently the meetings with the Boston Celtics went as smoothly as you can. You know, they sort of went, you know, you're willing to take a little bit less for us to give us some flexibility. It's like, yep, what are you going to offer? And so it's just perfect to have that guy in your sort of locker room. And I think, you know, he's perfect, you know, wherever he goes. And, you know, he shot some threes. He expanded his game a little bit in Brad Stevens' system. And, you know, perfect complementary piece, backup sort of guy to Al Horford. You know, can play big, is a nice rebounder. Is still alive somehow after being dunked on Giannis and Joel Embiid a million times throughout the season. But, yeah, good to hear for my Aussie boy, Aaron Baines.
Yeah, I mean, for the Celtics, who have so much, you know, cap taken up, getting Baines back for 2 years, $11 million, I think it was a good deal. He's a rugged center, as we know. He's a bruiser. He can hit threes, at least in the playoffs. He can hit threes, which is, I guess, when it matters most. So that's really all you need. But it was a good deal for the Celtics. They keep the tough guy back there, and I know it's a good move for right now. You know, if they wanted to, They could possibly trade him. I don't see that happening, but it's also, you know, the deal is very small, so it's an easily moved contract.
Yeah, like Corey said, I correct myself. 2 years, $11 million, not 2 years, $16 million. And he probably had his best season in Boston. And those corner threes in the playoffs, you know, he hit a nice percentage. If he can add to that in the regular season, that'd be a nice fit for Boston. He's a guy that doesn't really mind if he's starting or coming off the bench. Just a perfect guy to have on your team. And he just kind of is a little bit of an enforcer. Not a ton of enforcers left in the NBA. And having a guy like that definitely fits Boston. Talking about Jeremy Grant, a guy we mentioned before, he re-signed with OKC, 3 years, $27 million. This one was pretty quick. I expected a Grant to kind of get a lot more interest on the market, and OKC locked him up real quick.
Yeah, I think that sort of elevated number of $27 million may have sort of swayed him, Nick. You know, he's only 24 years old as well, so, you know, by the end of that deal, he'll be 27, so he'll probably be able to get another contract. This is probably a contract valued on potential as well. You know, I think he when they sub out Steven Adams at times due to matchups or due to foul trouble. Jeremy Grant will often play at the five, and you know he can space the floor somewhat. Is a really versatile defender, and I think it's a good enough signing for the Thunder. But at the same time, they're going to want some production from Jeremy Grant, especially with guys like Patrick Patterson, who weren't able to sort of produce by in any sort of stretch of the imagination last year.
Yeah, I mean, this, again, like Nick mentioned, this was a really quick signing, a lot quicker than I anticipated. But they, you know, they secured him. And actually, I'm a big fan of Jeremy Grant. He played at Syracuse. And then this year, personally, I thought he should have been the starting power forward for them in a small ball. You know, if Melo had accepted the reality check and went to the bench, I think Jeremy Grant would have been a nice starting piece. Obviously, the offense needs to come along. He needs to develop a more consistent jump shot. But because of his length and his athletic ability, he's a really good defender. So I really like this signing going forward for OKC. If they can just get, you know, a couple other moves around this roster, I like what they have going so far.
And he kind of fits the culture and the, you know, the mentality that they're kind of build is that grind, that hustle, that toughness. And he's a nice guy with that as well. Going on to another guy, Derrick Rose, re-signed with the Minnesota Timberwolves, 1 year, $2.2 million. You know, solid move. You know, he looked pretty good, you know, in terms of D. Rose standards and what we know of him now and with the T-Wolves last year, especially in the postseason. What are your thoughts on the Wolves re-signing Rose?
Yeah, I like this. Look, Derrick Rose is still a very capable point guard in today's NBA. We saw some moments from him in the playoffs against the Houston Rockets. There was a post on Twitter or Facebook sort of making the rounds yesterday about how a fan of his sort of saw him at a physical therapy institution, and they sort of said, you know, oh, Derrick Rose, you're the man. And then he responds, he's like, nah, man, not anymore. So it's somewhat depressing sort of seeing the fall.
It hurts your soul a little bit.
It does. I mean, because, you know, Derrick Rose, you know, he's had his issues on and off the court, but at the same time, you want everyone to sort of live their best life in every sort of way. So, you know, the fact that he's still in the league, oh, I feel like he's definitely got a history, and he's going to be around for a few more years, you know, whether it's on these minimum deals or whether it's on, you know, sort of short deals. But, you know, if Coach Thibodeau is going to be coaching the Minnesota Timberwolves for the next couple of years, I'm sure he'll get some deals there.
Wow, that's sad that he said
it is.
Said,
it is.
Man, he goes, no, not anymore. That sounds like a broken man, but,
Yep.
He had a good
in some ways, it is positive, though, because at least he understands that he's not the MVP type player he once was, and he can kind of establish himself and be a star in the role that he is now.
Right. That's a good point. But, you know, as for the deal, you know, 1 year, you know, 2.2, I think is what it comes out to. And a good deal for Rose. Because at the end of the day, you know, a 1 year deal again, he did get some extended running time in Minnesota. He did look decent in the playoffs offensively. You know, if he has a, you know, a comeback season this year, if he can manage to stay healthy for a full year and play some valuable minutes off the bench, who knows? Maybe we see next offseason him get a, you know, a 2-3 year deal for, you know, 16 or 20 million a year. Or not, no, 16 or 20 million over 3 years, not a year. Forget that. Sorry. but I think it's a solid signing for Minnesota.
Yeah, nothing to complain about, especially for a team that doesn't have a lot of money. And like we said, he was pretty decent for them last year, especially in the postseason. We'll see what happens. Maybe he can get his value back up. Another guy who signed for a small deal and had some impact in the postseason, that was Gerald Green, re-signed with the Rockets, 1 year, $2.4 million.
Yeah, it gives them some consolation in the sense of losing Trevor Ariza. Obviously, Gerald Green isn't by any stretch the defender that Trevor Ariza is, but he had his moments throughout the playoffs. There were times where, you know, he was unplayable, but he gives them great energy. You know, he's fully in heart and soul in terms of buying into the Houston sort of mentality. I like him. I love watching Gerald Green play. He has his moments. You know, he's a swaggy piece sort of type, but, you know, with the better, sort of better mentality, in my opinion. So, you know, nice. They need these sort of cheap deals, Houston, now, with the amount of money that they were committed to so many other guys. You know, they need to buy in. They need these sort of vet minimum, you know, low contract guys to sort of fill out the roster.
Yeah, I mean, this was a good move. As you mentioned, with Ariza being gone, this was something they had to do to a degree. You know, he was a spark plug by definition. He had a lot of, you know, really good moments and then some really shaking your head moments. But I think for the Rockets, you take the chance, you know, maybe with some more playing time, you can get more consistent. He's obviously playing against two Hall of Famers and James Harden, well, a projected Hall of Famer in James Harden and a sure thing Hall of Famer in Chris Paul. So I like the move, especially for the amount of money it is at $2.4 million.
Yeah, I think the money and just a fit and obviously losing Ariza, a guy who's from Houston, loves the city and stuff, you can't go wrong with that. Our next signing, Fred VanVleet, re-signed with the Toronto Raptors, 2 years, $18 million. Now, this one actually surprised me. I was unsure if the Raptors are going to be able to re-sign him because of their cap situation. They just went forward with it, and they'll probably make a trade in the future.
Yeah, they're going to have to, Nick. Like, we talked about a lot of teams in terms of their salary cap situation. The Raptors, with the moves they made for Valanciunas and Ibaka and Lowry, they're certainly tied up in terms of money. But you know, Fred VanVleet was so integral to their system. You know, Sixth Man of the Year contender, Most Improved Player contender. You know, there were rumors of him being courted by the Phoenix Suns, the Orlando Magic, all these teams that sort of needed a point guard in a sense. But Fred VanVleet is the perfect sort of backup point guard in today's NBA. You know, hit some massive shots down the stretch for the Raptors. So, so important to their rotation. I think it was integral that they got him back. And, you know, Masai Ujiri thought the same.
Yeah, this was a huge move for the Raptors, keeping Fred VanVleet. Obviously, he was a crucial part of that bench mob they had last season. He was able to take a lot of pressure off Kyle Lowry. And gave, I mean, Delon Wright, you know, also helped contribute to that. But I think Lowry was able to stay fresher than he's been previous because of Fred VanVleet's impact. You know, from Wichita State, he's very gritty, gets the job done. $9 million a year to me may be slightly much, but they didn't want to lose him. So to me, it's a good deal. And, you know, as Jack mentioned, you know, the other guys they have on this roster, Valanciunas and Ibaka, I think it's, you know, they're trying to move those guys, and we'll have to see if they can possibly free up some money by moving one of those two guys or both.
Yeah, the Raptors have been open to moving almost anybody on their roster, so we could definitely see a move from them. And I actually thought Fred VanVleet would get some interest from like Orlando or Phoenix, and they might offer him a bigger deal. They snatched him up pretty quick. I mean, it wasn't like it was right at 12 o'clock or anything, but it was still on the first day of free agency, so it was a little bit of a surprise. I'm definitely expecting a move from the Raptors in the next couple weeks. The Knicks re-signed Luke Kornet on a one-year deal. I'm unsure about the money amount. I don't believe it was reported yet, but not a bad move. They brought him up from the G League last year, had some nice performances. You know, this is the type of move the Knicks need to make.
Yeah, apparently it was about $1.6 million, and I think the New York Post reported, Nick. I think it was a decent enough move. He had his moments throughout the season. The Knicks are sort of another team that are sort of, you know, not in that luxury tax range, but are certainly in that salary, tied up in terms of the salary cap around that $101 million range. So they don't want to give out any big moves. And, you know, especially if Kristaps Porzingis is out for an extended period of time, Kornet could see some decent amount of minutes. And, you know, they're giving plenty of other guys some lofty money. So to be able to get a short-term team-friendly deal for Luke Kornet is ideal.
Low-risk signing. You know, you had him last year. You see what you can get him for another year going forward. I got a ton to say about this. It's a solid signing for the Knicks, who are trying to get, you know, somewhat back to being a respectable franchise.
Yeah, it's a right move. It's a good move, to be honest, you know, and it keeps flexibility for next year, which is the most important thing for them. Moving on to the Heat, another small deal. Derek Jones Jr. re-signed with the Miami Heat. I know it's 2 years. I'm unsure of the money amount on this one as well. Another solid move. You know, he didn't play a ton last year, but there is a lot of potential. A really great athlete.
Yeah, awesome athlete. You know, one of the best athletes in the league. You know, an awesome dunker. But it's an interesting because, you know, we haven't seen many rumblings around the Miami Heat about any moves that they're sort of making. You know, Wayne Ellington is certainly a coveted free agent, with me and you guys have mentioned at length his name on some of the free agency and off-season previews. So it'll be interesting to see what his sort of status is going forward and if the Heat actually do make any moves, because, you know, this was certainly a very ancillary move to the sort of what's going on with the rest of free agency.
Yeah, I mean, high flyer, definitely can throw down to nasty dunks. Miami's got, you know, not an old roster, but they don't have a ton of young. They have, you know, their core guys seem to be still rather old or getting up there. Derek Jones is still very young. So, you know, you take a chance and you see maybe he can develop some more aspects to his game and maybe he can become a rotational player in the future.
Yeah, Spoelstra always gets the most out of guys. Now talking about some of the new signings, I know Corey wasn't a big fan of this one. I was with him when it happened. Doug McDermott agreed to sign with the Pacers, 3 years, $22 million. What are your thoughts on this one, guys?
Yeah, I'll go first before Corey starts yelling and screaming. And
here we go.
I'm in Corey's camp with this one. Don't understand it a lot. The Pacers had some nice flexibility. There was rumors that I know Corey wasn't a fan of in terms of them targeting Aaron Gordon as well, but that sort of leaves them out in the dark a little bit with that money that they've committed to Doug McDermott. 3 years, $22 million deal. Who else was going to offer Doug McDermott sometimes gets buckets this deal. Like, he's not Doug McBuckets. You don't deserve that name when you don't, like, make consistent buckets. You know, you did it at college. You know, this is the NBA. Different playing field, buddy. But, yeah, I don't understand the deal by the front office, by Kevin Pritchard and the likes. It's a bit head-scratching, as Corey mentioned earlier.
Here we go. I know when Nick told me the signing, I think I had to pick my jaw off the floor. I just didn't get it. Let me just break this down. So I got to give me like 2 minutes. All right. Doug McDermott he's fine for when you put him in a system where he can shoot, he can cut. As Nick mentioned, Nick said to me, you know, he is a decent cutter and he can shoot, which is all good. All of that to me is fine. And if that's what he can do for the Pacers, I'm okay with it. For 3 years and $22 million, though, for a guy who can only do that, doesn't play great defense, can't really create his own shot, can't really create for others, I'm not terribly sure why that was the move. You know, Tyreke Evans was still out there. You know, a guy who has showed he can play make, he got a better jump shot. I was okay with him not going after one of the big restricted free agents. But I just think, you know, when you have the amount of cap space they had going into this offseason, you look for someone who can play make and create their own offense along with that Oladipo, not someone who Oladipo, again, has to get involved in the offense. To me, it's just another guy Oladipo has to do more to get involved with. So for me, it was just a little bit of head-scratching and a little bit too much money. If it was 3 years, $16 million, I probably would have been okay with it. You know, at like $5.5 million per year. But for me, this is just a little bit too much money for a guy who doesn't do a ton of great things to me to win basketball games.
I think the most important thing is, like, obviously the deal is a little bit long, and I know Corey's mentioned to me a lot about the Miles Turner and Sabonis contracts coming up. He did shoot 49% from three last year when he was with Dallas. So if he can shoot 40% from three, I don't think it's as bad because he's a spacer. But like Corey said, he doesn't do a ton for the team, and the three-year deal could kind of lock them up a little bit because I believe it's fully guaranteed. I was surprised to see it happen so fast. Corey, would you have preferred to give this money to Joe Harris?
Without question, I would have preferred to give to Joe Harris. I don't know. And I know Doug McDermott, you know, the 3-point percentage in Dallas was really good. But I don't know. I always worry about guys who have good shooting years on somewhat bad teams. And then I don't know. And like you said, it was so quick. You know, you lock up all this money before you even gave. You know, I know Will Barton got snatched up first, so it was like, oh, we lost Barton. But, I think Tyreke Evans would have been the better solution. And obviously Lance Stephenson is still dwindling out there. We'll talk about probably later. But I think I would have preferred to give Joe Harris that money, only because Joe Harris, to me, you know, besides just being a really good shooter, he can, you know, drive. He can also play make slightly. I just don't really see a complete Doug McDermott. But as 8.9 seconds, one of the Pacers' big blocks I tweeted and said, you know, a lot of people were really down on Bogdanović too when they signed him last year at $10 million a year. People were really down on that. I was one of the people who was kind of down on that. And he ended up being a really good, you know, fourth, fifth option, shot really well, and actually defensively became a lot better than I ever thought he could be because he just played hard. And when you play hard on defense, some things can happen. So maybe Doug McDermott is Bogdanović 2.0. But as of right now, it's like a 4 out of 10 for me on the signing.
Well, for Corey's sake, we hope it works out. Moving on to the next one, Ersan Ilyasova, 3 years, $21 million. The third year is not fully guaranteed. This one seems like a little bit of overpay too. What were your thoughts on this one, guys?
This is a Budenholzer sort of signing, Nick. You know, I'm wondering. I listened to a little bit of Nate Duncan and Danny LaRue's podcast this morning. They were sort of saying similar. You know, did Mike Budenholzer have any say in this? You know, he was sort of the front office GM with Atlanta for a period, but at the same time, I don't understand it because, you know, he doesn't give them any sort of flexibility in terms of their lineups. You know, his postseason with the Sixers was really good, but, you know, Ilyasova isn't like, you know, he can't play more than small forward, power forward. He can't play like center. He's not switchy enough. You know, he can't create any offense in a sense to sort of like help out Giannis in ways. You know, definitely an overpay, probably a Mike Budenholzer sort of hire in a sense as well, because, you know, they were probably clamoring for his services so heavily in terms of to be their coach. So maybe this is one to please him.
This move, this is just head scratching to me. I And I think it's more so head scratching, not because I think Ilya Lubtsova is a bad player. I actually like his game. I think he's a very solid role player. Like you mentioned, Jack, he can play the 3-4. He can't really play the 5. And I don't necessarily dislike his fit because he kind of fits what Milwaukee does with having, you know, guys who are rather big and tall. But again, now, you know, with Jabari Parker still being a restricted free agent, you know, I believe now they're hard capped, right? So now you're going to be paying luxury tax most likely if you re-sign Jabari. So I just don't understand the move for a financial from the financial aspect of things.
Yeah, you guys heard what Annie thought about it. So
she's not pleased.
She didn't like the money amount either. So, but it is a reunion, and like Ersan can provide them with some things. Obviously, he played there already, had some success there, but definitely interesting and similar to the McDermott thing. It happened pretty quick. You know, it's not like, no offense to Ersan, like he's a solid player, he's had a solid NBA career. To wrap him up that quick just seems a little bit too early. Like, test the market a little bit, see what's out there. Like, personally, if I'm looking to add a stretch four, I don't know if Ersan's the first name that comes to mind just because he's more of a role guy.
Yeah, especially with that money.
Yeah, like, it's in, I guess the only benefit is the third year is not guaranteed. So maybe this year they're overpaying a little bit, next year. And then if it doesn't work out the third year, you just cut them, or maybe you can move them in a trade, because when they have those non-guaranteed contracts, it works out a little bit easier. But if you're, I mean, Giannis Antetokounmpo, I don't know if you're a big fan of this deal. And like Corey mentioned, the implications it could have on Jabari Parker if someone were to send a big offer sheet his way. But talking about another guy who secured the bag, got some big money, DeAndre Jordan. Finally came to the Mavericks after that whole thing that happened a couple years ago with the Clippers, and he signed 1 year, 24.1 mil.
3 years later, it took 3 years to finally, you know, get him in that cowboy hat emoji, as he tweeted out. it's been a 180 of sorts, to say the least. But, you know, I'm going to mention this on JBT as well, but I thought it was kind of a dick move that he opts out and then signs for 1 year on the exact same deal. Like, couldn't he have opted in for a trade to sort of facilitate with the Clippers, similar to what Chris Paul did? I did read the fact that, you know, what the Clippers were wanting in terms of like draft compensation and such, the Mavs weren't willing to give up. So maybe that's more on the Clippers side. But yeah, 1 year, $24.1 million deal. It works well for the Mavericks, but I mentioned on the rookie report with Dylan Jackson, the fact that, you know, I didn't have him as highly ranked as a guy like, you know, maybe Julius Randle to play some small ball five, or DeMarcus Cousins or Clint Capella. Obviously, you know, there's different implications for those guys, and DeAndre Jordan is sort of a guy you've been clamoring for so many years. But, you know, it's going to be nice to sort of watch Dallas. I think they're going to be a fun team to watch in the pick and roll, especially with Luka Doncic and Dennis Smith Jr.
It was somewhat interesting, you know, 3 years later, obviously. Is it official? Is it this is not verbal, right? You can't back out.
Yeah, technically didn't sign it yet, so he could still back out.
Oh, here we go. Round two, right? I think Mark Cuban would try, you know, commit suicide, something like that.
I think he would sue him. I think he would sue him, to be honest.
Probably. some kind of thing. But, you know, Mark Cuban has been wanting to throw money at a center for the last, you know, dating back 3 years.
Since they lost Tyson Chandler.
Right. It was a great point. It was interesting how he didn't go after, like you said, Jack, you know, after any of the other, you know, centers, you know, Cousins or anything like that, that are on the market. But, you know, he wanted DeAndre Jordan still. I think DeAndre Jordan is still a very capable player. He obviously can get double-doubles at any point in time. I think it's a good move for Dallas in the short term. It'll bring in some fans for the seats. But, I mean, for DeAndre Jordan, it was, I guess, just about money, because you're not going to win much at all. But who knows? Luka Doncic and DeAndre Jordan, oops. You know, maybe the Mavericks are Lob City 2.0. But, you know, Mark Cuban wanted to throw his money at somebody, and somebody finally took it.
It's weird. This whole situation is weird. I could never imagine being a management team or ownership going and re-signing DeAndre after what happened the first time. It just wouldn't make sense to me. It just, like, he literally screwed you guys last time, because the way it happened is they had cap money and then they couldn't even spend it because all the free agents were gone. And like Jack mentioned, I would throw the max money at Clint Capella. Like, maybe they match the offer sheet, but Clint Capella fits your timeline a lot better. And it's a 1 year deal for $24 million. Like, it gives them flexibility for next year, but then they could just be in the same situation, because DeAndre could be like, oh, we're not winning, I want to sign with a contender. And then it doesn't really help the Mavs. I just feel like this whole signing is kind of strange.
Yeah, it's a bit weird.
Yeah. Oh, another signing of a center. This one I was very happy about. I'm sure Jack is as well. Ed Davis agreed to sign with the Brooklyn Nets on a steal, 1 year deal, $4.4 million.
Yeah, this is an absolute Sean Marks, I don't know how he did this one, because this is a below market deal and then some for Ed Davis, you know, who was, you know, one of the consummate teammates in the league. You know, Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum were out tweeting about him, you know, heartbroken emojis and such. So maybe we get Damian Lillard. Who knows?
It was our pick that drafted him.
You should have got him in the first place. But, you know, he's certainly going to be missed by the Portland Trailblazers. And the fact that, I can't remember who it was that tweeted this, but the fact that they can't afford Ed Davis on a one-year, $4.4 million deal shows how dire the circumstances are for Neil O'Shea out in Portland right now. Because, you know, this is a no-brainer. You know, Ed Davis said that he wanted to come back. That was reported. He said, like, I want to come back. Like, you know, well, let's sort something out. So I don't know what broke down in terms of between Portland and Ed Davis and his team. But, you know, the Nets swooped and they got a guy who is going to be really good for them. And he's certainly going to be missed by Portland fans.
Yeah, I mean, he's a bruiser, you know, a higher energy guy who can rebound. For Brooklyn, it's absolute steal, a team that at times has lacked some rebounding. You know, this is a guy who can come in and help with that. $4.4 million is not bad, one-year deal again. I know they talked a little bit before, you know, Portland definitely was sad about this. I know I saw Lillard tweet a broken heart emoji. You know, it was interesting to see. You know, I guess Portland just didn't want to spend any money on him. And I think they ended up signing, I'm not going to say his name because I can't. Yeah, there you go. So they were willing to give him money, but not at Davis. So I don't know. I guess they wanted to change directions. But it's interesting when a guy who seems so loved by his, you know, by his teammates and wanted to come back, you know, kind of gets shut out like that.
Yeah, he was a fan favorite. He seemed like he was a favorite by the players and even the beat writers as well. And just he checks the boxes for Brooklyn. They needed rebounding. They needed toughness. They add him. They also have him on a one-year deal, so it keeps the flexibility. Like I mentioned, the Jack, I just have a feeling that I'm really going to love Ed Davis and the energy he brings to the team. So definitely excited about that one. And somewhat surprised that he got swooped up pretty quick, because I believe it happened around like 1 or 2 a.m. last night. So I was surprised that nobody else was interested in him, was able to kind of get in there, maybe a two-year deal. But maybe he's thinking next year he can grab some more money.
Yeah, 12:43 a.m. to be exact.
Yeah, Lillard went to Insta, I think, 2 hours ago, guys. He typed in "forever, ever, my dog SMH" with a picture of Ed Davis, and then Ed Davis responded with "brother for life, shit bigger than basketball." So, it's a bit sad for Portland fans, but you know, we whip the rewards, Nick.
Yes, we do, and I'll be very happy about him seeing him play next year. And it's just really strange, the whole Portland situation with money, and it just kind of makes you wonder what they're going to do with Joseph Nurkic. But we kind of mentioned Trevor Ariza before, 1 year, $15 million. The Suns wanted to make a splash this year. This wasn't the splash I expected necessarily.
Yeah, this is more like, you know, if you're doing a cannonball into the pool, which I'm sure many people are over the long weekend up there and for you guys in the States, this doesn't create the ripple effect that you necessarily want as a Phoenix Suns fan. But, you know, there's still like, you know, a little bit of waves that it creates, you know. Maybe it's more of a belly flop of some sort. I don't know. But, you know, Trevor Ariza on a one-year $50 million deal, slight overpay, obviously. But, you know, it's been reported that there are going to be a lot of these sort of one-year, two-year deals, as we've seen in the market, because the cap is going to become more flexible and a lot higher over the next 2 years or so. So it makes sense, but you know, in terms of fit in Phoenix as well, it's, you know, questionable. But I think I remember seeing Ryan McDonough say that, you know, he was on the lookout for veteran guys to sort of help extend this roster further. You know, push them to the playoffs, maybe possibly, you know, as a fringe sort of team in a sense. You know, they've got, you know, a core there of sorts, but they're missing, you know, the important position at the one. So, you know, Trevor Ariza fills a need in any sort of roster. And for Phoenix, that's the case as well.
Yeah, I mean, for the Phoenix Suns' perspective, it's let's get a vet. You know, we have some money to dish out. You know, we can give it to Ariza, who's looking for some money. They've been wanting to trade Jared Dudley, who really can't play anymore. He's just, you know, looks like me. I think when I'm going to be 45 and I just pull on a pair of uniform. But, you know, and they, you know, I saw already a picture of like people making fun of like Trevor Ariza and Tyson Chandler sitting watching practice, you know, not practicing next year. It's an interesting move. For me, it's more strange for the fact that Trevor Ariza decided, you know, when he was so close to another NBA Finals appearance and possibly winning a title to then just say, nah, I want the money. But of course, he's also getting up there in age. He's, you know, 32, 33. So he doesn't have a ton of time left to make, you know, $15 million a year. So maybe he takes this 1 year deal. He helps, you know, teach some of these young guys some stuff. He gets his bag. And the next year, he goes title hunting again. But it definitely was a – this is one of the stranger signings we've had so far today.
And another move that happened pretty quick. You know, just like something that you maybe would see later on, Ariza was kind of sitting on some offers. But pretty much what Corey said, I think, is what's going to happen. He signed the one-year deal. Now the next deal he signs, he can take a little bit of a pay cut because he made some extra money on this one. And for the Suns, they just are trying to prove to Devin Booker that they can get a little closer to the playoffs and not be a lottery team. You know, I would expect the Suns to make another move. I mentioned the Jack. I could see them trading for possibly Jeremy Lin or Spencer Dinwiddie in some sort, trying to add a point guard and kind of really make themselves have a chance to at least compete for, you know, that 8 seed.
Yeah, I don't understand as well. Trevor Ariza is super close with Chris Paul. So I feel like Chris Paul's going to be pissed at Trevor Ariza. Like, he'll probably be getting up into his mentions and over the season. You know, I'm intrigued to see.
A lot of middle finger emojis.
Yeah, definitely. You know, their WhatsApp certainly aren't going to be too friendly, I'm guessing. But I'm intrigued to see, you know, the Phoenix and Houston matchup and seeing, you know, how these two guys, you know, sort of come face-to-face, because both of them certainly have that on-court white line fever.
Yeah, definitely interesting. And just, you know, they got on the State Farm commercial too, so they helped get him some extra money. You think that would help, but I guess not. Omri Caspery decided to sign with the Memphis Grizzlies, one-year deal. Not sure the money number on this one. You know, solid move, nothing crazy. The Grizz don't have a ton of money. Caspery's been a solid player when healthy. The problem is his health is always fluctuating.
Yeah, it is. You know, he had to get cut by the Golden State Warriors late into the season for Quinn Cook. Was somewhat of a heartbreaking move for him through all the work that he puts in. You know, I still will never forget the day watching him and Steph Curry when Omri Caspery was on the Sacramento Kings just, you know, make it absolutely rain threes, you know, in a sort of three-point contest of sorts. So, you know, he gives them that level of spacing. And in an ever-present league where three-point shooting is at an absolute premium, getting an Omri Caspery on a cheap deal, you know, if he stays healthy, I think is a bonus for the Grizzlies. They're actually making a relatively decent move.
Yeah, I mean, they want to win 50-plus games next year. This is the kind of piece you want to add, right? You know, he's a solid vet. He can shoot. He didn't get a ton of run in Golden State. Obviously, they had a ton of talent. But it's a chance for him to kind of up his value again and play some more minutes for a Grizzlies team that is going to need some guys who can shoot.
Yeah, it fills a need. I think they needed three-point shooting, and he adds that. It gives them some offense. They need that as well. So solid move for the Grizz that are cap-strapped, and it really works out. Another shooter, Marco Bellinelli, signed to the San Antonio Spurs, two-year deal, $12 million. Obviously, this is another reunion. The Spurs really needed shooting last year, so getting Bellinelli definitely will help. What would you think about the number on the contract? Was it a little bit much, or you think it's fair value?
No, I think it's pretty high, Nick. You know, Marco Bellinelli is certainly getting on in terms of age. You know, some of the shots that he took for Philly in the playoffs were questionable, to say the least. But at the same time, you know, he did provide them, you know, with that game-tying shot, as well.
Almost game-winning.
Almost game-winning, you know, centimeters away or inches in whatever measurement that you guys use in the Northern Hemisphere. But at the same time, you know, $12 million doesn't make a lot of sense to me. For a guy of his ilk, it's similar to sort of Ilyasova in that sense of the word, you know, an overpay of sorts, but maybe Pop and RC Buford are just like, you know, look, you know, this might be my last couple of years in San Antonio. Just give me all the guys that I love coaching and I love in the locker room, and we'll give them whatever they want.
Yeah, I mean, I love Bellinelli being back in San Antonio. He, to me, is a perfect type of Spurs guy, obviously. He's hit some big shots in the past. So, I mean, I like that. It gives him a chance also to, again, compete and he can win. I mean, obviously, they're not going to be competing for a title because Kawhi's going to be probably on the way out. But I think it's a solid move for the Spurs. To me, it may be a tad too much money, but I'm not terribly against paying Marco Bellinelli $6 million. Doug McDermott's getting $7.5 million. So, I'm okay with this to a degree.
Man, the levels of salt. I think, like, you know, Corey is going to replace Salt Bay in
the game. I'm actually cutting holes in my skin and pouring salt because I'm so salty.
Man, the Salt Bay-ness is level and threshold is super high out there. Love it.
It definitely was a surprise, the money amount. I mean, I think they could have probably got him for a one-year deal. It's, I guess, like you said, Pop must really like the guy. They really were desperate for shooting, but defensively, he doesn't give you much. His shot selection question. He doesn't really create either, so well, whatever. They're like Corey said, they're not going to be competing with a championship. They're going to lose Kawhi. They really need shooting, so they add him. Portland signed Nick Stauskas to a one-year minimum deal. nothing crazy here, you know, not a big surprise, just, you know, kicking some rocks. Stauskas wasn't very impressive with the Nets last year, couldn't even get playing time when there was injuries, so I don't really know what to expect out of him in Portland.
Like, the fact that they couldn't give an extra $2 million to Ed Davis, yet they give this money to Nick Stauskas, is absolutely baffling. You know, I'm going to be looking up some synonyms on dictionary.com like Woj was doing during the draft to describe it, because it doesn't make any sense whatsoever. He could shoot occasionally, you know, maybe like two games out of 30, if you're lucky. You know, the hot sauce is certainly very mild right now. It's more like a mild salsa.
I like that.
Very like one of those tame sort of red salt tomato salsas.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when you let a guy, Ed Davis, you love, or the guys love, walk, it's definitely interesting. But I think with this, you know, and obviously, he hasn't been impressive, Mr. Hot Sauce, or Mild Sauce, whatever Jack wants him to be called from now on. But I think for Portland, you're looking at the fact that you don't have, you know, you don't have a great deal or a ton of shooters around Lillard and McCollum, so you want to add another guy. I think that was just the mentality, is we need to get some more shooting on this team, and he was the guy they go after. It was a quick deal too. That's normally, you don't see guys like Nick. You know. So I can't. I just don't know this name.
Just call him
is
Nick.
A,
just call him Nick. Call him Nick.
I'm gonna call him NS. You know, I just don't know why NS was so quick to be signed.
I was surprised too that he was signed so quickly. I mean, the 3-point shooting is there. There is potential. I would assume there's something else going on why he doesn't get playing time. Defensively, he's not great. He's a little bit inconsistent as well. So whatever, Portland takes a chance. It was interesting that they rescinded the qualifying offer, I believe, for Pat Connaughton, and then they signed Nick Stauskas, which is weird because Connaughton, I think, is a better player. But
way better. Connaughton's way better.
Yeah. So that was kind of strange. Like, if you're going to spend money, at least spend it on guys that are, you know, good. No offense to Nick Stauskas, which I hope he, you know, develops. It just hasn't been a great NBA career for him.
Nilos Shea could get fired. They'd be like, low-key just quickly. He is very much on the hot seat out of all the front office guys in the NBA right now because, you know, Dell Demps saved his job of sorts thanks to the encore play of the Pelicans. But I could see with the way that the Blazers are going, they're trending downwards. There's no way that they're going to finish higher than the third seed or even in that top four, I don't think, next year.
Yeah, and they're book stock. Like, yeah. their cap situation is terrible. And like we mentioned, you know, Joseph Nurkic, we don't even know what's going to happen with that. Our next guy, though, Glenn Robinson III, a Pacer guy, signed with the Pistons. I know Corey hates the Pistons. A 2-year deal, $8.3 million. Solid move. You know, if he can come back healthy and be the guy that we saw a year before, I think it's a nice move for the Pistons.
Corey, take this one. Let us know about Glenn Robinson.
You know, he's been in the league for 2 years, solid wing defender. He can shoot threes. He shot 40% from the corner last season in, you know, just 27 games. And he was really good the year before when Paul George was still there. He had a game winner actually against Atlanta one day from a corner three, believe it or not. So he can shoot. He can get him some more, you know, a tough defender. He still has a lot of upside. I know I read something from a Michigan newspaper, and they said he didn't play last season because he sprained his ankle all year. Is he played 27 games because he sprained his ankle? He actually had surgery on his ankle, so it wasn't a sprained ankle. But he, you know, he's a solid pickup for them.
Would you think, Corey? Sorry, Nick. Do you think would you have rather kept Glenn Robinson on this sort of deal than signed Doug McDermott? I'm gonna keep throwing the salt, mate. I can't help it. Sorry.
See, you're getting me riled up because I'm angry. I don't know why. I don't know why you don't bring back Glenn Robinson. You drafted him. He was, you know, only going into his third season this year. You know, he obviously missed 2 months last year because of the surgery, but you know, I just think there's a lot of upside to a guy who can play defense, who can for sure play defense and can hit threes and possibly become a better shooter. And it's only for $4 million compared to a guy you're paying $7.5 million for the fact that he can just shoot and maybe you can get something out of him on the outside of shooting. I don't know. I guess the Pacers wanted a guy who hasn't been hurt. I don't really know. I personally think Glenn Robinson's going to have a much better career when it's all said and done than Doug McDermott.
Interesting. And I think, you know, maybe he wanted to change scenery because things weren't necessarily working out with the Pacers and being injured all year last year. So we'll see what happens with him. Now we touched on most of the guys that have been signed. I believe I might mention one thing. Dirk, I believe, is going to re-sign with the Mavericks for 1 year, $5 million. It's not confirmed yet, but we're going to talk rumors a little bit.
Nick, and I think Nikola Jokic as well. Did we mention him signing for the five-year max, most likely?
Yeah, I just didn't mention him because it happened like, you know, pretty much we knew it was going to happen a week ago.
Yeah, fair.
So, but we mentioned him a little bit on here. Obviously, Jokic deserves some money. He still has a lot of haters in the NBA, but very talented offensive player. Just needs to work on that defense and probably work on his body and his conditioning a little bit to really hit that next peak.
Yeah.
But talking Denver, talking big names, LeBron James has been rumored to have a meeting with them. Obviously, I think, he personally didn't have a meeting with Philly today. Some of his reps did. There was talk about him possibly meeting with Magic last night in L.A. What are your thoughts on the LeBron situation?
Man, the rumor going around is, I can't remember who tweeted out, is that he's already decided and everything that's happened. Yeah, Nick Wright.
And then somebody else came out and said that's not true, but who knows?
In terms of what's going on NBA Twitter right now, it's the most wonderful time of year. Who do we believe? You know, Stephen A. Smith, Nick Wright, maybe not. But at the same time, you know, there's rumored meetings. He's apparently sending his people, some of his agents and crew, to meet with the 76ers as well, because, you know, the rumors are growing stronger that the 76ers might be getting Kawhi Leonard. I think that LeBron may have, in my heart of hearts, I think he might already know. But I don't think he's 100% sure. He might be leaning towards one situation, but I think it's more being dictated about by the moves around him. Like, he's going to see where Kawhi goes, and I'm sure he's got his fingers and toes crossed that he goes to LA, because then he can get out of Cleveland, you know, enjoy the nice sunny weather of the LA beaches and such. Because I don't think, as much as there's certainly a decent likelihood he goes back to Cleveland, I don't think that it makes any sense whatsoever, especially with the Boston Celtics and the 76ers on the rise.
The Nuggets entering this race for LeBron is interesting, or, you know, trying to get a meeting. And I saw the same thing about, you know, Magic and him. You know, the rumor that they had a meeting last night, that I heard they didn't have a meeting last night. You know, no one wants to say, like, everyone's going to say one thing and then someone else is going to say it didn't happen. It's just where we are. You know, LeBron's got that kind of pull. We're going to be, you know, on the edge of our seats wondering, probably to the very end, the exact decision. I don't know how the Nuggets would get LeBron. That's what I would be more interested to see, is how they plan to bring in LeBron with the amount of contracts they have. Obviously, probably be a sign and trade of some sort. But it's interesting, and I think LeBron, like you mentioned, Jack, he's definitely waiting to see where the Kawhi domino falls. You know, if Kawhi ends up going to Philly, I think LeBron probably edges towards Philly. If he goes to LA, I think LeBron edges towards LA. I think LeBron really wants to play probably with Kawhi. I've seen the gif of LeBron shooting free throws in the NBA Finals, and then Kawhi checks in, and LeBron goes, you know, like, fuck, this guy's back in. You know, you want to pair up with superstars, and that'd probably be the best player, you know, he's ever played with at this point in his career, at least ceiling-wise, because I think, you know, Kawhi is probably, has the potential to be better than Dwayne Wade ever was when LeBron played with him. But it's interesting. I don't think the Nuggets really have a chance, but, you know, everyone's going to try and throw their hat in the ring for LeBron.
How incredible would it be if the Sixers were able to get LeBron, Kawhi, and then kept Joel Embiid and had Ben Simmons? That would be just be some major talent in the starting lineup. Obviously, they would need some shooting, but that's a crazy amount of talent. The Lakers situation, obviously, with Kawhi is interesting too. And Corey and I kind of chatted about this a little bit as well. You know, on the Lakers' hand, do they have to kind of make the move and get Kawhi? Because it could be the same situation as Paul George, where they think they're going to get him in 2019. Then he signs, you know, they makes a trade to Philly, and then he ends up staying there. The LeBron situation is really interesting. If you had to give me a percentage for all the teams, what would it be? You know, let's just go with Philly, LA, and Cleveland.
Philly, LA, and Cleveland. I'll go LA 45%. I'll go Cleveland 30%. And I'll go 25% for the Sixers.
Yeah, I'll go 15% for the Lakers. 15% for the Lakers. I'll say 25% for the Sixers, and then probably right now probably 65% cap. I just there's too many variables for the Lakers, and the the Sixers need to do a little bit more, I think, to entice LeBron. I think LeBron's looking at all his options, saying staying home is probably best for my legacy.
And Houston,
before you cut in, I'm gonna call out Corey on his maths. 15 plus 25 plus 60 is 100.
It wasn't a math scenario. It was just percentages.
105%. 100% is the only physical possible. So I just wanted to call out my boy Corey. You know, he's had a night.
He did. He had a busy night last night, so we'll cut him some slack. Also,
16s are fun, all right?
I think Houston is still technically trying to get in there, but it would be super complicated to make that move happen. It would take a lot of work from Daryl Morey. Do you guys think the longer it waits out, the more likely it is to go back to Cleveland, or it doesn't really matter?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. I think that makes the most sense. And I think Cleveland, you know, aren't going to be making any moves at all this offseason until they see what happens. He's got, you know, all these teams on a string, so to speak. You know, the Sixers have some flexibility, as do the Lakers, but they seem to be certainly all in on LeBron, especially after Magic's comments about, you know, recruiting a superstar. I think it's more and more likely as days go by that he will be heading back to Cleveland, but it'd be a bit boring, you know, for the sense. I think people were saying before free agency starts, like, imagine if Kawhi just stays in San Antonio, LeBron stays in Cleveland, and, you know, Paul George stays in OKC. It seems like there's a possibility it could still happen, all those three.
Yeah, I would say the Kawhi is the one most likely to leave just because that seems toxic. But LeBron just seems like there is a possibility. Kobe Altman, I know, has talked to LeBron and his reps telling him that they do have trades on the table. The one interesting thing from Cleveland is just the drafting of Colin Sexton. Like, that doesn't necessarily make a great fit with LeBron. So it's weird. The whole situation it's like LeBron has no perfect choices. Where in the past, it felt like there was a lot of options and a lot of situations that would work out. Now it's like, you know, he really can't make a right move because there's no team that's going to guarantee him a finals trip.
Yeah, I'll even say this. I'll say there's this LeBron free agency goes one of two ways. He either leaves and plays with Kawhi or he stays in Cleveland. I think that's the fork in the road right now.
I honestly just want him to sign a one-year deal and just, like, make us all worry about it next year again. Like, that's all I hope. Regardless where he signs, I just hope it's like a 1+1, and then we just get all this craziness again next year.
Seems likely.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping for. And then, you know, obviously we can see a lot of more teams are going to have cap space, and there's going to be a lot more options. But moving on to another big free agent, hasn't got a ton of hype, obviously, coming off the torn Achilles. That's the Marcus Cousins. L.A. has been rumored to mention. Obviously, New Orleans has been in the cut as well, you know, re-signing with them. What are your thoughts on Cuz?
I think that the fact that DeMarcus Cousins has the Lakers as a suitor is going to bode well for his team's negotiating with the New Orleans Pelicans. You know, get him an extra year, maybe get him an extra, you know, get him a player option, get him some extra money, get him an extra $5 million or whatever it might be. You know, because, you know, DeMarcus Cousins, Kawhi Leonard, and LeBron James is a pretty decent team. There are certainly health concerns about two of those three. So at the same time, you know, there are question marks surrounding that. But at the same time, you know, I think that the longer this drags on, I still don't have a gauge. Like, this for me is almost 50-50.
Yeah, I think the minute the Lakers popped up related to Cousins, I've been saying this for a while. I'm not surprised that the Lakers and Cousins have, you know, somewhat of, you know, interest because of the fact that. And they missed out on Paul George already. They have this money. They want to get a star. And I think they're set on getting a star. And if they miss out on Kawhi too and they miss out on LeBron, then they're going to offer a max deal to Cousins because they want to give a somewhat all-star to a star player money. And, you know, Cousins could be that guy. I think Cousins, if you paired him against, you know, alongside Lonzo, wouldn't look bad at all. I think that'd be a fun fit. But I think for sure that, you know, this could help the Pelicans, you know, facilitate a quicker offer if the Lakers start getting more and more aggressive.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting. I would not be surprised if the Lakers threw our offer at Cousins that the Pelicans don't want to match. Because the word is the Pelicans don't want to offer a huge deal. And the Pelicans are looking more so on a short-term deal where they can kind of gauge it and then also gives Cousins flexibility to get a bigger deal. But if the Lakers were to strike out, Magic has already said that he's going to quit his job if they don't sign a star in 2 years or whatever. So I think could be a really big, could get a huge offer. And in terms of timeline, like Cousins isn't going to be back healthy probably until halfway through next season or whatever, or maybe even a little bit farther down the line, which is fine for the Lakers if they keep that young core, because then hypothetically, if they make the postseason, they have Cousins healthy, or the following year, Cousins is a great fit if they keep the pieces they have. And it's not terrible for the Lakers. Like, I don't think it would be a really bad backup plan if they end up having to give Cousins big money, long as he can come back healthy. I think it's really one of the more interesting storylines that's not getting talked about.
Yeah, I'd be remiss to say as well, my co-host, Nick, massive Wizards fan, if I didn't mention his Washington Wizards, you know, the sign and trade possibility is certainly growing less and less likely, but, you know, Otto Porter for DeMarcus Cousins, I think that that works well for the Pelicans in terms of getting finally a capable wing next to Anthony Davis. But at the same time, the likelihood of that, I think, is probably under 10%. But, you know, where there's a will, there's a way, as they say.
And Corey's brought that one up a lot as well. So it's definitely something to keep an eye on. I feel like my thoughts on that trade is I think each team is going to think that they're getting the worst end of the deal, and they're going to be like, oh, add the sweetener. And they're like, no, you're already getting a good deal. And it's like, it's just a lot of unknowns, because obviously Otto Porter's contract is very big, and obviously DeMarcus Cousins, the injury, we don't know what he's going to be when he comes back. Talking about the Lakers, just released, I think it was like about 15 minutes ago, the rumor dropped. They may have interest in Aaron Gordon if they strike out as well, and he's a guy who hasn't got a lot of interest because teams are just pretty sure that the Magic are going to match any offers he receives.
Yeah, I mean, in a sense, I saw that as well, and they're keeping it on Twitter on, you know, the odd list or two. I don't understand it, especially, you know, when you've got Julius Randle right next to him. I'm not sure why they would sort of abandon Julius Randle in that sense of the word. Maybe abandon is too strong of a word. I think both of them are very capable players, but you know what Julius Randle is in terms of within your organization. And I think, you know, continuity, we've mentioned plenty of times ad nauseum on the Brooklyn Buzz. I think that that makes more sense, being able to give, you know, Julius Randle a similar, if not like a slightly better deal to reward him. But, you know, in terms of athleticism, in terms of fit wise, why not? I mean, if the Lakers strike out, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if Rob Pelinka and Magic are just like, get me someone, you know, get me someone. And they just throw some money, a la what Jim Buss did, you know, a couple of years ago with Mozgov and Luol Deng.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's interesting that Aaron Gordon is now tied. But I don't think the fit is necessarily bad. I mean, it'd be confusing why they wouldn't want to bring back Randle, a guy who can play the small ball five. But maybe they're thinking I go after Aaron Gordon, and maybe they're thinking I can go after one other guy, because, you know, maybe they get Cousins and Gordon, and maybe that's their new thought process. We'll get a young budding, you know, possible all-star star, and maybe get an established all-star. Because, I mean, if you think about it, Aaron Gordon kind of fits with that Showtime type of Laker feel. I mean, he can run, he can
dunk. He brings some hype.
Right. He'd be exciting to watch alongside of an Ingram, a Lonzo, and a Kuzma. I mean, Aaron Gordon could be really fun on that team. So I think maybe that's what they're looking at. You know, you're looking at the big targets still of LeBron and Kawhi and Cousins as a backup option. And then if you miss out on those two, then your options go to, you know, your fourth option, which is Aaron Gordon. I don't think he's in their top three. I don't think they're really totally interested in them because, as you mentioned, Nick, I think everyone sort of feels Orlando's going to match any deal he gets. But I think they have him on the back burner if they do, you know, keep striking out with the marquee free agents.
Talking to another guy tied to the Lakers, and that's Clint Capela. That just got rumored out today that they're going to meet with him, and possibly I could see them offering him a max deal if they don't get Cousins or something either. He's a guy I mentioned before, and I don't think there was a lot of, you know, traction in terms of that, but it would also make sense as well. A young center kind of forced Houston to overpay. I think Houston will probably match any offer, but still, that I think Clint Capela would be an interesting fit.
Yeah, we've seen our Nets sort of force the offer sheets out there, Nick, and that just works well. You know, we did it to the Wizards, and they're hamstrung. And, you know, that bodes well for us in terms of a fellow competitor in the same conference. So, you know, if Rob Pelinka and Magic Johnson are smart, why not? Because I actually think Clint Capela would be a better fit. And Clint Capela, you know, in terms of, I think, has one of the highest upsides as a young center in today's NBA. And he is still growing as an NBA player. And I think, you know, he'd be a really nice fit in any organization and is the prototypical modern center. Obviously, he can't shoot threes, but, you know, who's to say in a couple of years' time he can't do that as well. I prefer that over Aaron Gordon. And, you know, he fits a need of sorts because, you know, Brook Lopez is their center for a large portion of the year. So, you know, you put him as a backup on a cheaper deal and you plug in, you know, Clint Capela and, you know, Lonzo Ball and Clint Capela in the pick and roll. That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, I think Capella actually might be a better fit than Cousins, only because, you know, Cousins obviously has the issues on defense at times, doesn't get back, doesn't necessarily play hard at the time. Capella is a great rim protector. You know, his offensive game is easy with Lonzo because of pick and rolls and lobs, and then you don't know what happens with, you know, if he develops his offensive game further. But, you know, that's an interesting guy for LA. And actually, I think if LeBron was looking at guys to play with in LA, I think he might actually prefer a guy like Clint Capella, who might be a little bit more, you know, ego, easier to control ego-wise compared to a Cousins who might want to fight with him on being the man.
Interesting too, and he fits the timeline a little bit better in terms of all the young players. So Capella's a guy, but like I said, I would be surprised if Houston didn't match. It just makes a lot of sense. They've developed him and got him to be a great fit with James Harden and Chris Paul to bring him back. Again, talking Lakers again, Julius Randle. Now, he hasn't had a ton of hype. There was a lot of talk about Dallas being interested in him, but other than that, you know, I haven't heard a ton on the Randle front. Anything for you guys?
The only thing I've heard on the Randle front is our Nets, Nick, somewhat, and I think a lot of that's been done by our friend at Flatbush at Atlantic. Certainly getting on the bandwagon there. I like Julius Randle in terms of the season that he had and the production that he had, but you know, in terms of the rankings right now, I think Aaron Gordon is slightly more valuable in terms of his upside and potential. He's certainly above Jabari Parker in that sense of the word, but I guess Jabari as a wing might have a little bit more sort of flexibility, you know, maybe a little bit more potential, if you want to put it that way. But yeah, Julius Randle, you know, this team, only teams with cap space right now would be able to sort of get him. So the Hawks, maybe, the Kings, unlikely, and the Bulls, unlikely. So, you know, and then obviously the Lakers, and maybe to a lesser extent, if the Nets make a trade of Damari Carroll or something. So, I mean, it makes sense why we're hearing crickets for some of these guys, because it's a very loaded market in terms of the amount of money out there.
I mean, this could be like the best case scenario for the Lakers. Think about it. If there's not a ton of market out there for Julius Randle, and he asks, and someone offers him a lesser deal because that's all he can get, then the Lakers match it, and they end up getting Julius Randle back for, you know, cheaper, you know, way less than he's probably valued. That could be a turn of events, and I'm just speculating. But yeah, there's definitely not a lot of teams out there looking at him. I heard the Nets rumor too, from you guys. You know, I heard rumblings that the Hawks might have interest, but it's very little interest, if that. The Mavericks were the only team that, you know, were really in the running for him. But then, of course, they went after DeAndre. And again, Julius Randle probably would have fit their time schedule a lot better too. So Julius Randle's in a weird spot. He's looking, and if you're him, he's probably hoping that the Lakers keep striking out.
Yeah, I think Julius Randle 5 years ago would have got paid. Like, he's a banger. He's a tough dude. The lack of consistent 3-point shot kind of hurts him. And then just being in this cap situation, in some ways, it might make sense for Julius Randle to sign the qualifying offer and take the 1 year deal at the shorter money and then come out and try to get a big paycheck next year. It's a possibility. I don't know if it would happen, but I could see it as, you know, something he would consider because the cap is so dry this year.
Yeah, that has been mentioned, you know, whether he gets like a 1 year, $25 million deal from the Lakers. I think that works well for him to an extent, and also for the Lakers. You know, there are plenty of possibilities in terms of what could happen for Randle.
Moving on to another restricted free agent, Jabari Parker. Still not a ton of hype on him. The Bulls have been a big interest, obviously, hometown guy. The Sixers, I think, have considered him as a backup plan. There has been some mention as the Nets and the Pacers, but what are your thoughts on Parker?
I really hope the Nets don't get him. I just don't like him as a teammate and in terms of culture fit, in terms of for our Nets. But you know, in Chicago, you know, there could be a fit there in terms of, you know, the sort of age demographic, and in terms of going forward, you know, he can play like, you know, a quarter of defense every like 85 games. You know, he's good offensively and certainly hasn't hit that ceiling yet, and you know, is only growing in potential there. Milwaukee, obviously, giving that money to Ilyasova, like Corey mentioned, complicates things. So I think Chicago, the likelihood is going to go higher and higher for them. And you know, there's always the Sacramento Kings lurking in the background with some sort of deal.
Jabari Parker's in a weird spot with his value. I don't think the Nets will go after him. The Pacers chose Doug McDermott over him. The Bucks, as you mentioned, have that cap situation. It looks to me, it looks like it might actually come down to, you know, Chicago or Sacramento at the end. I think Sacramento's probably going to gain more interest as free agency progresses, but I see him actually probably ending up in one of those two teams. And you know, a dark horse team might be, you know, even maybe the Lakers are a dark horse team if they miss out on everybody else. because I think he was one of the guys they had thoughts about drafting a couple of years ago, possibly. I don't remember. That was a long time ago when he was on the market. It'll be interesting to see where he goes, because, you know, after two ACL injuries and, as Jeff mentioned, the lack of being able to play defense for a long period of time, it's hard to gauge a young guy like that.
Yeah, definitely. It sucks for Jabari with the knee injuries. But Jack mentioned some of the off-the-court stuff is definitely something to keep an eye on, too. We got a couple more guys. We're going to kind of just go through them at a quick pace. Zach LaVine.
Interesting situation. I heard him say that, tweet our laugh emoji in response to Nick Friedel, being offered apparently a $14 to $15 million deal per annum. Obviously, he wants a little bit more money, Zach. So who's going to offer it to him? I don't know.
Kings and Hawks have been tied to him.
Yeah.
I after talking to – I had Matt Peck on a Bulls writer the other day, and he said despite some issues between LaVine and the front office that there's little chance he goes anywhere else because the Bulls front office doesn't want to lose the biggest asset they got back for Jimmy Butler.
Interesting.
Yeah, well, that does make sense. Like, you made the trade for the guy. You knew he was coming off a torn ACL, so you might – like, it's kind of weird if you don't give him a chance, and the market probably won't be crazy for him. I'm going to mention a few guys. You tell me if you want me to stop. Isaiah Thomas, Tyreek Evans, Derek Favors. Tyreek Evans. All right, what are you thinking about him?
I've heard a couple of rumors about him today. The New Orleans Pelicans have reached out. They're having teammates of the Pelicans, former teammates like Anthony Davis and Jrue Holiday. They're having them reach out to Tyreek Evans to possibly have him come back to New Orleans. And also Bob Myers, the GM of the Warriors, who is the old agent of Tyreek Evans, is also hoping and leaning out for interest in Tyreek Evans, hoping that maybe he takes a lesser deal to come to Golden State.
That would be nuts.
I hope the Pelicans get him.
Yeah, that'd be crazy if Golden State got a player like that, especially coming off a really good season, being in a smaller role. It's funny, we're seeing a lot of reunions this year if he goes back to the Pelicans. A lot of players going back to teams they previously played for. Derek Favors, KCP, Avery Bradley. Any thoughts?
Avery Bradley's an interesting one. Like, obviously, he's been mentioned in some dream signing pieces on OTGBasketball.com. I think Evan Dial had one on him, the one that I've read most recently. Anyway, his skill set. I know you mentioned plenty of times as well his off court issues as well, Nick, in terms of apparently some impending court cases and such. But his market has dwindled. Quite a bit. Whether that's due to what's happening right now in terms of the shrinking market in terms of the money available, maybe he signs a KCP, JJ Redick sort of deal. It seems likely because that's what Trevor Ariza did, and to a lesser extent DeAndre Jordan, I guess, did. It'll be interesting to see where he lands. The Sixers seem to be giving off some vibes, I guess.
Grizzlies and Clippers too. He would, and I believe I saw something about the Warriors, which I think he'd be an incredible fit with Golden State if it was just a 1-year deal. So that's another guy that's really interesting. And like you said, Jack, the off the court stuff, and then also just coming off a really bad season. A lot of injuries, not being 100% obviously always hurts. What about JJ Redick?
Yeah, JJ, Nick, I was absolutely ecstatic when I saw the rumors that JJ could be heading to not necessarily his native home, but where he lives. In Brooklyn. We were rumored to get him last season. I'm sure we'll chat about him a little bit on the Brooklyn Buzz. But, yeah, his season was absolutely outstanding. He's in the ilk of Kyle Korver. I think he's got at least 3-4 years left at minimum. He's perfect in today's NBA. His ability to shoot off of screens and to shoot off of cuts, he is one of the best three-point shooters in the NBA today. And if you're not trying to what I hear is possible sort of negotiations happening with Philly in terms of him maybe taking a discount because of the elevated contract that he got this year.
Anything on the JJ Redick front for you, Corey?
I think he's another guy who's I think he wants to be back in Philly. I just think he's waiting to see if they can get, LBJ to see what kind of contract he takes. I don't know. I haven't heard really much of anyone, interested in him. But I think everyone kind of feels he's going to be back in Philly.
Any other free agents you guys want to touch on before we get out of here?
Go ahead.
I was going to say, Kawhi, we chatted about him a little bit. I put it to, I think, Dylan or Jake Herson on Twitter about the fact that I still think that however small the chance is that he heads back to San Antonio, I still think that there's a minute chance. And because like things have been changing so freaking quickly in this league, I still think there's a chance that he heads back to San Antonio because, you know, San Antonio, the Lakers, or the Sixers now. It seems to be that there's just three destinations.
Personally, go ahead, Corey.
No, go ahead. I'm good. Go ahead.
I don't see a situation where he can go back to San Antonio just based off like comments, and it seems like he was really pissed off. I don't know if you guys saw Woj and Lowe's show they had on ESPN right before free agency where they talked about the Tony Parker comment really pissing him off. And I don't think he wants to be back in San Antonio in that locker room. I think that relationship is just toxic. What'll really hurt the Spurs will be if LeBron signs back with Cleveland. Because right now they're kind of playing the leverage with like, all right, if we trade you Kawhi, you're probably going to get LeBron to Philly and LA. But if LeBron were to sign back with Cleveland, it would kind of hurt some of their leverage, and then they might not get as good a deal. So it's really interesting. I would not be surprised if another team took a risk and they're like, you know, especially because the reports are that the Sixers and the Lakers are both being stingy. You know, which I don't really understand because Philly believes they could possibly re-sign him and they already have a great core. So adding, you know, Kawhi Leonard to a Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid core would make a ton of sense and it would be a great fit. So I'm not really sure why these teams aren't willing to kind of send out the assets because Kawhi still is a top five player in this league. It's kind of mind-boggling what's happening right now. I think teams are getting a little bit too confident in signing a player in 2019 or they're kind of buying to a fact that a guy's going to be locked in. Like we saw with Paul George, you know, it was almost 100% everybody on Twitter, everybody, especially after OKC lost in the first round. Oh, Paul George is definitely going to LA. Then he stays in OKC. I wouldn't be surprised if we saw another team kind of take a swing and like not give up crazy assets. And then they make the move for Kawhi just because the Lakers and Sixers are being so stingy.
Yeah. I mean, I know from just stuff I've read on the, cause I've been keeping an eye on the Kawhi situation. Cause I think that's like the biggest domino as of right now. Aside, I mean, even more so than LeBron, cause I think everyone's waiting for what happens with Kawhi. But, you know, the Spurs haven't even asked for Joel Embiid or Ben Simmons in trade talks. Like, they understand that the Sixers don't want to move those guys. But there hasn't been any, you know, no – I saw one report that the Sixers wanted, you know, three first – not the Sixers. The Spurs wanted three first-round draft picks. And then, you know, Saric, and then I think Covington. I can't remember the third player. But they just – they want more so draft picks in the future. Like you said, people are being stingy. Windhorse just said on The Jump that if the Sixers were serious about getting Kawhi, they would trade Embiid for him, like, now.
What?
That's literally what he said.
Dude, that would make no sense. Like, okay, like, Windhorse usually has really good points, but
it does.
I would not ever – like, Joel Embiid is already a sure thing. He's locked into Philly. He loves the process. That's, like, your guy. Like, the fan base would freak out. You just tanked all that time just to do that. I think they could make a move. Send Markel Fultz. Like, whatever, you know, he didn't have a great season. I think the Spurs have a little bit of interest. Send Covington, send Saric, send first-round picks. It really doesn't matter because now your roster is going to have three great pieces, and it's going to be a similar situation where you could just fill it out with guys willing to take a discount because they want to win. And the East isn't that crazy. Like, you have to beat Boston, and Boston still has to figure it out themselves because they have all these players coming back from injury.
Right. Boston's still probably, you know, a year away. If chemistry wise, and then, you know, a year away is them having to sign more guys. So who knows?
Yeah, that's, I think you take your shot, and even hype, and I don't wish bad on anything, but Boston's obviously had a lot of injuries. Kyrie's knee is still a question. Gordon Hayward has to come back from the ankle injury. So I don't know. I'm surprised Philly's not really taking a bigger swing. And I think that the Lakers are kind of, they might've screwed themselves because if they make the Kawhi move before free agency, Paul George might second guess staying in OKC. And then you have the Paul George, Kawhi, LeBron thing in the Lakers. And that's possibly a team that could dethrone the Warriors.
100%.
Yeah, I think hypothetically as well, in terms of Tony Parker's comments, he's an unrestricted free agent. We've mentioned his name a little bit. If he is like on his way out of San Antonio, that for me could mean a possibility of Kawhi staying. But obviously he's a Pop guy through and through. I talked a little bit about the fact that, you know, Pop may have a short-term future in terms of his coaching future in the NBA. So I don't see him going. But if that were the case, and in terms of, you know, if I'm RC Buford and it takes, you know, if it's like, you know, Kawhi's like, get rid of Tony Parker. He's like, dude, he's gone. Like, why? What's the point? But yeah, obviously it seems more and more likely as the days go on that he's out of San Antonio.
And this is pure speculation. This is just a random thought. But Kawhi's had interest playing in LA and he's had interest in playing in New York because his uncle is big on New York and going that big market. I would not be surprised if the Clippers, Knicks, or Nets tried to make a big swing at Kawhi. Like, I don't think it's out of this world, especially if the Lakers and Sixers aren't willing to give up much.
Yeah, I mean, why not? Like, this is a guy who is an MVP contender when at his best, and a defensive player of the year, even when he's not at his best. One of the best wing defenders of all time, and his offensive game hasn't even reached its peak yet. Obviously, the injury concerns for me would probably be the number one thing of why, like, why am I throwing the kitchen sink at him as well? So you need to certainly get some assurances from his camp and like see the medicals and all the rest. But yeah, I mean, you know, create some chaos. Why not throw your name into the ring if you're one of those teams?
You guys have seen the first Star Wars, right? The terrible Phantom Menace.
Yes,
yeah,
yes,
a long time ago, though, I'll be honest.
Okay, well, at the end of the movie. You know, their Qui-Gon Jinn is dying, they're burning him. He's, you know, at the funeral, and you know they mention the Darth Maul apprentice, and then the guy goes, "There's always another," and that to me is what you guys just mentioned. They're saying all those other teams, even though we're talking about the Lakers and the Sixers, you know, there's always another team. There's always another. There's always going to be a dark horse, and who knows? In 2 days from now, or 48 hours, you could be hearing about, you know, the Nuggets just came out of nowhere, is coming at LeBron. I wouldn't be surprised if we're hearing about some team coming out of left field coming for Kawhi Hart.
Miami just comes to mind. They have no assets, but Pat Riley always does crazy things. I think the only teams, I mean, personally, if I was a team or a GM, I would only be taking that swing if I'm in a big market and I really am convinced that Kawhi would stay. Because obviously the LA hype is real, and the thing with his uncle and his team wanting him to play in a big market is real. But if you're already in a big market and you're in a solid situation, I think you maybe could convince him. I don't think it's that crazy of a thing. And like Jack said, he's a game-changing player. He's not an all-star player. He's a franchise-changing player. But anything else on that, guys? Any other trade rumors or free agent rumors you want to touch on before we get out of here? I know we're probably going to drop this pod, drop this show, and then next thing you know, there's going to be like five signings, so LeBron's going to make his decision. But
breaking news, Anthony Tolliver is a target for the Los Angeles Clippers. There we go. All right, we can end the show. We can end the show.
There's a big domino we're all waiting for.
I know my real GM just said there hasn't been an agreement in 5 hours, so we're probably due for one, right?
Yeah. True. Or it's either that or things are going to get stale until we hear what LeBron says. The rumor is that he's going to announce his decision Tuesday morning, but for some reason, I feel like it's going to get dragged out.
Who knows?
But all right, guys, great show. As always, thank you, everybody, for listening. You can check us out on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, OTGBasketball.com, and Dash Radio. And keep up with free agency on OTGBasketball.com. We've got a free agent tracker out there for you.